conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, Ross Brendel of KBEM-FM and the Minnesota Sports Chat podcast joins us throughout the entire episode. We're going to dive into various poll questions that Hoppy and I posted on the Soda Pod, including the contract poll thread rundown. We're also going to talk some latest Minnesota Wild news and updates and a few things from around the NHL. All that and more on episode 165 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the Wild Woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Dromi here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. We have our friend Ross Brendel riding shotgun on this episode as well. How's it going, man?
I'm going to count this as an official visit to Canada. I'm just going to let you know that this is an official visit of Canada or to Canada for me. Things are going wonderful. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invite to both of you.
I love that. Even though there's two Minnesotans here, it's Canada, baby. Let's go.
It's the same thing, right?
I say it all the time, and I'll say it again, Ross. Minnesota is more Canadian than Ontario.
The last time I traveled southward here in the country, somebody asked me what part of Canada I was from, and I told them the southern part, Minnesota. So We must share some accental things, so that you got that.
We're more north than Toronto.
That is true. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, Ross, you listened to our last episode, and thank you so much for supporting the Soda Pod. You wanted to chime in on our cider conversation, so the floor is yours.
Well, I don't want to steal a wrestling term, a heel turn on you, but for the first time, I just heard it. So. Yeah, for the most part, you say cider correctly. But the last time, just seconds ago, I think I just heard cider. And I believe it to be cider.
I think that was just the internet going out.
I feel like you're saying it differently than both of us.
Oh, really? I did not understand the heat that you were getting for how you said cider. I say it roof. It is a roof. There is a roof over my head. So I actually had great fun listening to that conversation.
I love it. All right. Before we dive into, heavy, heavy Minnesota talk, since this is the Friday episode, episode 165 here on the Soda Pod, just a couple housekeeping notes. We encourage everyone, like always, to comment on our posts, on any of our video clips. We love getting interactive with all of our listeners. And you can send us a text or voicemail as well if you have a bone to pick with us or if you have anything that you want us to chime in on. 612-324-1684. Again, leave a text or voicemail at 612-324-1684. And that's a big thanks to OpenPhone. It's a cell phone and an app. Great monthly rates at only $10 a month only at OpenPhone. And finally, the Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy Fantasy Sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, type in that promo code for weekly deals. All right.
And lastly here, Isha,
oh, yes. How
until further notice, we are sponsored for no money by Northland Vodka. Mark Parrish cleaned me out in the first round of the playoffs. And, well, as of now, 1-1 against the mighty Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm at least drinking this stuff for three more games. And let's be real, that's not a punishment at all. But we'll see how long we can ride this train, boys. And this one is not an unpaid sponsor. This is just our good friends, but 7th Ave Pizza. If you haven't tried it yet, I just feel for you.
Ross, have you tried the 7th Ave Pizza? I hear it's the best of the best out there.
I'm being told it's all the rage. I have not, and that's a shame because I call myself a frozen pizza critic, but I am also to this day. Hoppy, you'll have to let me know, where did you pick up said pizza? Is this is this the one that I can only find at Hy-Vee?
Hy-Vee, Lunds and Byerly's, and I think Speedway as of right now, and they're quickly expanding.
Okay, good to know. I actually, between recording with you, Isha, and this pod, I actually crushed a Bellatoria.
Those are good, by the way. No quabble on that. I'm going 7th Ave, but Bellatoria is certainly a solid frozen pizza.
I will make a promise to you and the others that have told me to give 7th Ave a try. I will have one within the next week and post a review.
Beautiful. That's all we ask.
Book it. All right. On the other side, we're diving into a ton of our poll questions, which is going to span into some great conversation here on the Minnesota Wild with our friend Ross Brandel. You're listening to the Soda Pod episode 165, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. I love these Friday episodes. I love kicking back, cracking a cold one. Right now, I got the Space Kitty, courtesy of our friends at 49th Parallel, throwing the hazy IPA Hoppy's way. Shout out, Hoppy. I know Hoppy's sipping on Northland Vodka. It's great to sip on this evening. And to dive into some Minnesota Wild talk, let's start with so many of these poll questions that have been that we've shared on Twitter. Hoppy, let's start with yours.
Well, first, we've already settled because I did win the polls for the cider debate. But since we already hit Ross with that, we can skip and move past. We threw one out that actually got people a little upset with us because, it played into the argument we've been making for months now that Dumba just has to go, that there's no way around it with the current construct of this roster. But we asked, you know, if it's necessary to keep Dumba, who are you willing to let go of and why? And the options are Kaprizov, Fiala, and Eriksson Ek. So let's hear it from you. You do not have the option of saying goodbye to Dumba. What are you doing?
I love that those are the only three options, by the way, so I could see why people maybe would have gotten angry at you, which is already bravo on framing up a great poll question.
Hey, financially speaking, it makes sense.
Yeah, that... Oh boy, that's tough. I look at it, my gut reaction initially would be to part with Eriksson Ek and hope you can find ways to replace that production. I don't know. The other two I'm just not willing to part with. And well, I'm not really willing to part with either one of those three, but I understand the poll question. So my gut would be Eriksson Ek. I feel like that's probably it's not easy to replace, but I feel like it might be a little bit easier to replace and look at guys to steal the old Billy Bean line from Moneyball, look at guys and recreate him in the aggregate. Might be a little bit easier to recreate what he brings with a couple different players than what you'd have to replace with the other guys. That's my initial gut reaction, but I'm more impressed by the poll question by not giving people an out. So well played there.
And Isha, you agreed with him wholeheartedly, so why don't you weigh in and support the claim?
I think Eriksson Ek and I've said this on the past podcast before, so valuable to this team. Hell, valuable to any team in the National Hockey League if this is your tool set. But there is no way that you part with an elite or, one of the two elite players that you have to have moving forward to have a successful franchise, but also that you have to build around. Like, sure, if you're looking at it right from a positional point of view, sure, you want to build around a center, a defenseman, and a goalie. This isn't a perfect world. If you have two unbelievable wingers, one of which can drive offense almost like a center, but with that textbook winger finish in that shot that Fiala has, it makes no sense that you kind of side with the center when, let's be honest, Erickson Ek is outstanding, but he's not a top center in the National Hockey League. I don't care if your underlining stats say he is. The rest of his game does not show him to be. It's a valuable piece to have, and I think the Wild, I don't want to say they're spoiled to have him there and have those assets, but it's awesome that they have it, but that's the one expendable piece, especially if you have two elite wingers that you have to move forward with because of the scoring. At the end of the day, who's going to score if one of those two guys are gone?
And this hurts me deeply to my core because out of the three players, it might surprise you that my favorite to watch is Kevin Fiala, but I'm absolutely picking him if it has to be one of the three. He is, first off, a guy that, it's partially because of who he's played with, but he's been very hit or miss, up and down, disappears for a while time to time, and we don't know if he's going to ever be that consistent producer. I think he absolutely can be, but the question mark is there. He's also a lot more valuable, I think, as a trade asset than Joel Eriksson Ek, probably going to get paid more. And I just strongly disagree with the importance here on the center ice position. That's already so bad for this team. Joel Eriksson Ek is the only center worth talking about on this squad. And, Ross, I'll let you in on the not-so-secret secret ever since I joined this podcast. I grew up a Penguins fan, and you tell me how many elite wingers they had when they won cups. Obviously Guentzel recently, but you win with strength down the middle. Look at any team that's won the cup. You can't do it without depth down the middle. And this Wild team, if they bring everyone back going into this next season, I don't think they're even remotely a contender until they fortify the center position.
And I think it's all how you view the team and the direction of where this team's going that's going to frame any argument. I lean more towards Isha's side that the top two players on the roster with high-end talent and upside right now are Kaprizov and Fiala. So naturally, you're going to be protective of those two. I'm also somebody who believes you need to find centers and you need to find as many high quality centers as you possibly can. So giving them away, yes, is not ideal. But I also want to backtrack to what you talked about when you were talking about contracts and payment. I don't necessarily think that Joel Eriksson Ek is going to be cheap either. So if you're going to lose somebody who at some point is going to be another one of the high-end players that you're going to have to pay, that to me is also not the end of the world because everything becomes a math game, especially if you go back to the beginning of the question, which basically says you're stuck with Dumba. Well, if you're stuck with Dumba, then it starts becoming, how do we trim payroll? How do we make this thing work? And compiled, and I guess to use a baseball term, field a competitive roster. And I think that's where it all comes back to. Is that numbers game. I don't want to part with any of them, and it pains me to say that he would be the one. I just don't see... I get what you're saying with the consistency with Kevin Fiala, but I feel like that consistency...
I don't, by the way.
Well, and this is where I'm trying to walk both sides of the argument. I think that was more of an issue before he got to Minnesota. It feels like we're on that upwards pendulum here, and that's been much less of an issue. And sometimes guys just need a change of scenery. Is it possible that maybe for the first time speaking broadly to all Minnesota teams, maybe we found a player where that change of scenery in Minnesota was a plus versus going somewhere else and finding that change of scenery and doing well? So I tend to lean more towards there's still more to get out of Kevin Fiala and more of that service to scratch. And I'm not willing to give that up, where I do think you can potentially find what Erickson Ek brings in other players.
And I think you very subtly hit on what I'm just going to bluntly say here. The point of this poll is to illustrate that Matt Dumba cannot stay. He cannot, if you want to re-sign those three players and improve the roster as well. Otherwise, you're basically at the cap with the exact same roster as last year, and that is just moronic. And guess what? Billy G's not a moron.
Exactly that.
So we'll move past that one. This is a long list. So these are going to be a little bit more quick hitters, unless there's a particular one, Ross, that you want to dive into a little bit more deeply. But what we're looking at here is really breaking down those big three players that we just talked about, talking, okay, what are we expecting them to come in at for an AAV, the term on the contract, and a couple other guys that are kind of fringe for the roster and what might happen in expansion. You ready to go at it?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready.
Actually, quickly, before that, tell us what you're drinking, because I just heard that beautiful sound.
This is actually a Minnesota Gold Light. We're going very light tonight. It's a school night for me, so we're going very light, but it's a very easy drinkable beer, and I should still be audible and coherent as I continue to drink it because it's that light.
Unlike myself drinking the 7%er over here.
Good for you. I'm proud.
If being new to the soda pod, Ross, all Isha ever cares about is that people know he's from the Hawaii of Canada and what percent the beer is that he's drinking. That's it.
Throwing a little ABV.
All right. So,
well, I learned from him earlier all about the alcohol classifications, which I think I knew, but it had been a while since somebody told me about all the different places that you go to pick up wine and spirits, beer, and I guess mixed drinks. So that was enlightening. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. All right. So let's jump in first with the big man himself, Kirill Kaprizov. Three questions here. You can hit them in any order you want. And I'm not even going to give you the multiple choice. I just want to hear this from you kind of off the cuff, okay? How many years is he going to sign for? Give me a ballpark on how much they're going to pay him per year. And how many points does he get if we get an 82-game season next year?
Okay. Well, I think it's going to end up being 5. The Wild are going to push for close to 8. The agent's going to want 3. They'll settle somewhere in between. The cash is probably, I don't know, 9-ish a year, somewhere between 8 and 10. The points, that's tough because, I mean, you look at just what he did, what he just did in a shortened season. can you give him a point a game? Can you just be that guy and say, he'll get 82 points? Maybe I'll take the cop out on that one.
I just want to throw an asterisk. In the last shortened season, Nail Yakupov was almost on a point per game pace too. So just want to say that.
That's the most negative thing you could have said.
I mean, I feel it's not unrealistic to think that he'll score 35, 40 goals. So then what do the tallies look like? So I don't know. I said 82. Isha tried talking me down. I'm not going to back off that much. Let's go with 77.
Okay, so let's just go down the polls as they rolled out. The winner for how many years at 54.3% with 175 votes, 5 to 6. You nailed it. Fans also agreed with you, and I probably should have tightened these up. This was on me, but the winner in a pretty similar landslide, 8.5 to 9.9. So you fell right in that sweet spot there. And you shouldn't let Isha talk you down because you barely exited the winner, which was 78 to 95 points.
I'm just here for the Golden Lights.
Oh, no.
But I think you're right in the same, you know, headspace as what we're seeing in these polls. Kaprizov going to be in that 5-year range, probably going to be making 8.5-9 million. Let's hope it's not more than that. That'll make me sad. And ballpark point of game player. He was, you know, right around that this year. You know, there's things to juggle though, right? Does he take a step in the next year? Does he get better line mates? Is it tougher in the Central Division than it was in the West? A lot to unravel there. Isha, any thoughts across the board on all three? Anything you agree or disagree with strongly?
Honestly, it Well, first of all, the results played out how I predicted. Other than being signed to the KHL because he's a Russian spy. Nothing that I really have an issue with either. Like, as I could see him being in the 70 range. I could also see him being well above point per game. I threw out the Yakupov thing just to be a dick. And as far as the AAV, like if they sign him long term, I think that obviously the cap will be a little bit lower. But regardless, this guy's going to want to get paid, even if it's a 5-year contract or an 8. So it's going to land around where the poll landed at the most votes anyways, around 8.5 and 9, regardless of a 5-year or 8-year deal.
Fair enough. So moving on now to the man that we debated pretty heavily here a minute ago.
Who, by the way, congratulations on his engagement there.
My wife's going to stab you. No, in all seriousness, congratulations on the engagement. It was actually hilarious. Made the post about that. And Sean Cosgrove, leave it to him, of course, chimes in and says, "Hey, congratulations on the engagement." Gets phone call. "You're going to Buffalo." No. All right. So Sean apparently agrees with me on the previous poll. That's not important. So Kevin Fiala, same ring of questions, except for the third question, instead of talking points, I want to know how many goals Kevin Fiala pots in an 82 game season next year.
The contract is, that's the most interesting question to me, because I think they're going to want to try and match what they give Kirill to keep it together. But again, for money, it might be better to stagger it. So I'll go, his will be a 4-year deal. Boy, his money, for all the reasons you laid out, Hoppy, his money's tough to figure out. But you'd have to look at comparable players. So that's probably $5 million. How many goals does he score? I'll go 30 on the dot. I'll give him 30.
You agreed with the fans. We'll tell you that. Fans thought 25 to 32 by just over 50%. So pretty spread, though, the rest of the way. There was some interest in that mid-30s range. Some said 40-plus. Some said under 25. So, again, all over the place. But let's hear it then. Lay it on us. Why don't you give us both? What are you optimistic about the contract being, and what are you worried it's going to be?
Well, the past regime, I'd worry that it was going to come with a bunch of no move, no trades. Yeah, and we would just give a first round pick to anybody to not even talk to him. I guess I got to be honest. I'm typically not this glowingly positive. I feel really good about where this franchise is at, and I feel really good about what Bill Guerin's done. And I think this roster's probably only about 70% his. There are some guys he's probably going to be stuck with a little bit longer, but I don't live in fear of the contract. I guess if it started to inch more towards, I guess anything above 6.5 to me would seem like a lot. But to me, there's also something to be said for, if you like your guy, go get your guy, go pay him, you know, go pay him and keep him and make him happy. So I'd like to see it 5 years. I'd like to match the length of the contract with whatever Kaprizov gets, but I'd like it somewhere in that 4 to 5 year range. And I'm comfortable at $6 million a year. So that's Minnesota math, Lakeville education. What does that count to? Let's do the math. 6, 12, 18, 24, 32. Was that $38 million? I'm good with that.
If you have a Lakeville education, I'm assuming that's wrong math, but I'm not going to check it.
36.
The fans, the fans said 3 to 4 years by pretty heavy margin, although 5 to 6 was in second place at about 30%. And the contract, 5.5 to 6.5. So you're right in line there too with what everyone else is thinking.
They're fucking dreaming if they think that's what he's going to get.
I would love if that was the case. I would be shocked if it ends up being the case. I think 7 is probably closer to the number, and it could fluctuate up or down from there depending on what kind of term they give him. But
I think they're starting at 7.
I'm scared. Yeah, that again, the contract scares me. I love Kevin Fiala, the player. I in no way want him gone. I'm worried that he's going to try and play hardball and put Garen in a spot where he has to be gone.
What? And that sucks because he has every right to do so. He was given no pieces to succeed in his own, you know, personal points wise. Obviously the team succeeded and that's what ultimately the goal is. But you guys know what I mean there. And he just came off a bridge deal. So him and his agent are going to be pushing for term. And I think term means more than 4 years, whether it's just one more in five or six. And this player, in my mind, like he is a better, he's a step higher than as far as like, you know, tiers of eliteness, you know, rankings as far as how talented hockey players are. He's a tier above Eriksson Ek. And I don't think Eriksson Ek's getting anything under 5.5. So you better believe him, his agent are going to be, you know, at least commanding money for that next tier type of player.
Yes. So my argument there, though, Isha, because I agree with you, he is a, like, just like throwing him in a blender, right? We're going to say that Fiala is the better player, but you have to look at organizational need. Just like talking about Matt Dumba, right? Like, the writing's on the wall for him because the heir apparent is there on an ELC and there's three guys with no move clauses. There is no organizational depth at center. You can't bank on Rossi after what just happened to him health-wise. There's really not anyone else you can look at down the pipe. And there's a lot of decent wingers on the roster and coming up as prospects. It just makes it a different situation. And again, we just have to look at the cap, right? Bill Guerin cannot spend over that cap. And Fiala has every right to argue and fight for that money. It doesn't mean that Guerin is in a position to give it to him.
I mean, if that's the case, then we better hope and pray that Boldy becomes a scorer, because if they walk away from this guy, you know, due to this reason, put all their chips in center depth, you know, we need Ek because he is that center. Again, putting all your chips in a third line center who is damn good over Fiala, regardless of position, just it's crazy to me. I understand where you're coming from. Again, we gotta pray that Boldy is every much the score at least, because I think Fiala brings much, much more than just a typical winger score production. The offense can go through him like we saw when he was putting up goals next to Eric Staal. All right, let's move on, Hoppy.
Well, the man that you just dragged through the mud, Filthy Romy. We are talking Joel Eriksson Ek. Again, same two questions with term and AAV. And then the one that I just enjoy so much because it's controversial. which line will he spend the majority of his time on next season? Let's hear it, Ross.
Well, the contract length again, that's, I don't know if they'll go five. So I'll say four. Well, the money, you know, just based off of even following what Isha was saying, I can't pay him more than what I'm going to pay Fiala. So I'd say 5.5. I get the argument that it might be more, but I'll say 5.5, 4 years. What line? Well, I guess that depends on the dream scenarios of who comes in. By default, I'd say it's probably, I'll go second line. He's probably your second line center.
And who's number one, baby? Victor Rask.
Oh, that just makes me want to throw up in my mouth. Hey, you're pretty much in line with people for the most part here. Joel Eriksson Ek, not as aggressively won, though. They said 5 to 6 years, but really 3 to 4 and 7 to 8 were both kind of in contention there. The 1 to 2 bridge was not something that was considered. Looking at the AAV, it was 4.5 to 5.49, and then the next tier was 5.5 and higher. And, I mean, between the two, it was pretty much the entire voting. So, again, you're right in line with that. And then the line, we had first with 18.8% of the almost 150 votes. Second had 41%. Third had 19.4%. And which line is grief was 20.8.
20.8.
Paying centers is just, to me, it's, I love that. Paying centers is tough, though. It really is, because it's again, I'll make the comparison to baseball. It's kind of like starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. You have your really good ones, then you have, or your great ones. Then it seems like everybody else pretty much falls in between good and really good, and it's tough to really figure out what their worth is. And then you have everybody else, and you can kind of figure out what to pay them. Erickson Ek is in that good to really good, and that makes figuring out his exact value, in my opinion, really tough because he's not great. I'm not sure he ever will be great. And if he does turn out to be great, good, you know, tip my cap to him. But I don't know. I just think it's a really tough contract to figure out. I think of all the contracts that they have to try and figure out, I think that's the toughest one that Bill Guerin probably wrestles with.
Yeah, and like I love Erickson Ek. You'd be surprised listening to the last few episodes, but I really do. I value that part of the game so much. Like I was telling Ross on his podcast, I know it's a different position, but like Shea Weber, one of my favorite players, not because he's flashy, not because he like lifts you out of your seat, but because defensively he's so sound. I love that in X game. Am I paying a second or third line on an elite team center $5.5 million plus? Hell no. It's just not happening. I get the tools he brings are better than the average shutdown center or second or third line center, whatever. But you look at other centers in the league who aren't bona fide number ones, but are like 1A or 2. I'm a Canucks guy, so I'll throw it to Bo Horvat. He's only commanding $5.5 million. I imagine on his extension, he's not going to get much more. And he's a consistent 50-point guy who also plays defensively. Is he as good defensively as an Erickson Ek? Not even close. But what I'm saying is an Ek who's that third line, second line, if you need it, center. I don't want the Wild to overpay or prioritize X position on this team or contract just because the team is not flush with centers and he's the only one that's actually pretty good. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and by no means am I advocating for that, okay? Again, going back to the money, right? Like, there's a value for these players. I'm just saying at his value, I'll be even optimistic and say maybe he signs for, you know, 5 or 6 years at $5 million. I'm okay with that for the role he plays, the versatility he brings, because again, I don't want him as my first line center. He can do it if you need him to. And he's that perfect swing guy to be that second or third line center, depending on who else you fill in with him, right? If you've got a more skilled guy like Rossi, who's maybe not the number one, but you got to stick him at 2, X down at the 3. If you get a more defensive minded guy who needs to slot in at the 3, great, X can move up to 2. I just think that with an organization who has zero centers, he becomes that much more important. But I am, again, not willing to overpay for that. Totally with you.
I also think for some of these guys, an Ek might be the perfect one to do this. Some guys, it becomes easier to overpay in money and give them less years. And some guys, you'd rather give them more years for their stability and a little bit less money. Ek to me seems like the perfect candidate to try and convince him to that scenario. So it seems like he would be, or I think he's the guy, to your point, Hoppy, let's maybe give him an extra year or two if it will convince him to help keep the money down a little bit.
And I would love that too. All right, let's move this train along.
All right, yep, we'll move these ones a little bit quicker. I guess the real question, and I don't even need to ask you the poll questions, do you think, first and foremost, that Ian Cole, Nick Bonino, or both will return next year? Go.
Well, Bill Guerin loves them, so I would say yes. I'll go
Minnesota Penguins.
I'll go at least one, if not both. That's probably a cop out, but I see no scenario in which both are not here. So at least one, probably both.
Okay, so Ross, which one? Which one? If it's only one.
I'd say Ian Cole would be more likely. I think Cole's more likely.
I really, really hope Ian Cole comes back. I want them both to come back because I think they both fill very good depth roles and, you know, are very important veterans on the team too. So let's talk about it then. Like, for either one, we don't have to worry about the term because that we'll leave that to Guerin. What are you willing to pay them to get them to stay? Like, where's the line drawn in the sand for each one?
Well, I prefer, as far as I just think it's year to year with both of those guys. I know they might be looking for more, but my line in the sand and my ire starts to go up the moment we start talking about more than, I wouldn't be any comfortable going more than 2 years. I really wouldn't, especially when you talk about other guys coming due. And look, again, even like Ian Cole, I like Ian Cole. For the most part, I think you'll find guys like him available each year in free agency. So why give him 2 or 3 years when you can't say for sure, but there's a pretty good chance that guys like that, and even guys like Ryan Hartman, those guys, if you do your homework and you do your scouting, that's what your scouts get paid to do. You can find guys like that. You can find the value guys. You can find the guys that maybe didn't fit in somebody else's system, but will in yours. And again, I trust Bill Guerin to do that, which is why I wouldn't overpay. I wouldn't overpay in years, especially.
Sure. And I'll jump in first. I do think they're in a weirdly unique situation where both players are perfectly fit for the gaps in the roster, right? Bonino, perfect fourth line center. Cole, perfect third pairing defenseman, especially when you look at this team that, with or without Dumba, I'm not worried about that top four, right? You need someone reliable on that third pairing, can kill penalties, block shots, play that gritty game. And Ian Cole is a weird case for me because, again, back to the days when he was a first-round draft pick by the St. Louis Blues, gets sent to the Pittsburgh Penguins for a bag of pucks, and guy turns into everything he was supposed to be. And then just didn't fall into favor with Mike Sullivan for whatever reason. And ever since then, he's been jumping from teams. He got sent to Columbus, then went to the Avalanche, then fell out there because holy shit, do they have a stockade of defensemen. Comes to Minnesota, and everyone that's written about him, like, this is a guy that cares about his team. He wants to go out there and battle. He just wants to be respected, and he wants to be wanted, right? I'm not saying go and throw money at this guy. I'm saying if you tell him, hey, Ian Cole, we'll commit to you for 2 or 3 years, he's probably happy taking some kind of discount, taking, you know, call it a $2 million contract, maybe even a little less, just depending on how that conversation goes with Bill Guerin. So I think he's a guy that I'm okay with 2 or 3 years. Bonino should be 1, maybe 2, depending on what AAV he'll go with. Isha, you?
I agree with what you said about Bonino there. I think Ian Cole, to echo what you said, if even the Wild throw him as low as like 1.3 mil, but lock him up for 3 years, I think he recognizes that, you know what, I'm going to have a role with this team. I'm going to be bringing up, you know, Addison. I am going to be playing penalty kill, and I'm going to be one of those veterans for a team that's getting younger. And I would like to see that. Even if it's 1.5 to 1.8 range for 2 to 3 years, I think that's full value for Ian Cole.
Does the age bug you on either two, though, on a long-term deal? I mean, it does me. I mean, both, if you give either guy a three-year deal, then you're talking about 35 years old when that deal ends. And I get hockey's a little different. I understand that. But, I mean, the age, once you start getting to the mid-30s and giving guys long-term deals, I don't love that unless they're a superstar.
I care more for Bonino than I do for Cole, to be honest, because you can see in Bonino that his game is deteriorating. He's still playing the same style, same smart hockey, but the wheels are falling off, right?
Yeah, he's not as quick as he once was.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you. I think 1 year for Bonino is perfect. If it needs to be 2, but he's going to come in real cheap, hey, if that's what ends up working, cool. But I think Ian Cole, you know, barring injury, which he really hasn't been a guy that's got that great of an injury history, even with the grinding play that he has, I see his game being able to hold up for those 3 years. And again, like Isha said, kind of fitting in with some of those younger guys to help groom them along and just solidify that third pairing.
Yeah, I'm laughing because, like, he ain't skating on this team moving forward. Like, especially if he's paired up with Addison, he's not even going to cross the blue line. He's going to be making sure, you know, the neutral zone is tight and just dishing it out to Addison, who wants to pinch.
He's not going to be crossing the Wild's blue line.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, I mean, you bring up good points, Ross. I'm with you that, like, again, for both players, you're not going deep into the well at all.
Yeah, and again, I'm not anti either player. I actually believe, like, if you made me pick, I think it's Ian Cole, but I do believe that they're both back. But again, to your point too, you also have to expect that there are still going to be mild changes to this roster, and you can't bring back everybody, because at the end of the day, I'm pie in the sky. I'm very bullish on where this team is going and where they can go. But at the end of the day, you appeared in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah, you took maybe the eventual Stanley Cup champions to a game seven, but you didn't win the series. You lost in the first round. So roster changes are coming. There will be at least, at the very least, light juggling of the roster. That's to be expected.
Yeah, and that's fair. And so we already kind of beat on this, guys, but I want to at least get it from your perspective, Ross. Matt Dumba, you know, is this a guy that is just not leaving? He will be with the team at least for the duration of his 2 years left on the contract. Is he leaving this summer? Is he leaving sometime during the season, or is he leaving next summer? Where do you see the Dumba move happening?
Well, I'll do a shameless plug for Minnesota Sports Chat, my pod that Isha was on earlier. I would hope, best case scenario, I would hope that the Kraken take him and that you leave him exposed and you just let him go. You don't pull any deals. You don't pull any type of trades to stop Seattle from taking a player. If they want Matt Dumba, just take him. Again, that would suck. There are plenty of things that Matt Dumba drives me crazy about. That happens when you have an offensive defenseman. There's plenty of things that he does well that I love. But it will alleviate some issues if Seattle decided just to take him and, you know, the money goes with. So that's best case scenario for me. I do believe that if you're going to find a center or you're going to find more offense to put pucks in the net, I think he's going to be a guy that if he's not swooped up in the expansion draft, to me seems like one of the most likely candidates you would trade in the offseason along with. And again, I'm a big believer in keeping your assets as much as possible, but it seems like Dumba paired with maybe a pick or, you know, a combination of something else. I'm not convinced he's on the roster next year. So I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I don't think he will. I'll steal a political term. I don't think he will serve out the final 2 years of his term as a defenseman in Minnesota.
He might be impeached. That's fair. A couple things I want to hit on there. Cause first and foremost, I am a massive, massive Kalen Addison fan. I loved him when the Pittsburgh Penguins took him. It was a great win-win for me when I saw Zucker go to Pittsburgh and Addison come here. If you don't like Matt Dumba, you're probably not going to like Kalen Addison because it's going to be a very similar story. Difference is, I think there's more offensive upside, and we don't know where Addison's going to fall on the defense spectrum. That was definitely a knock for him on the scouting reports pre- and post-draft. But hey, there's room for that to be molded. We'll see what happens. But I think this guy has every ounce of potential to be a great offensive defenseman. The real question that I'm with you, Ross, I hope that Seattle takes him in the expansion draft. I think you might have to give Seattle something to take him because I think whichever goalie gets exposed is the one they're going to take. I really do.
Yeah. And whichever goalie is exposed comes at a cheaper figure. Right. So, and they're going to have tape on two goalies that were phenomenal last year. Probably, let's be honest, at least in the case of Cam Talbot, I believe better than what the Wild thought that they were getting. And who knows if that's even sustainable to carry into next year. I don't know. I'm not super confident, but I also believe that there might be some regression, but I don't believe he'll be terrible. I also would say I expect Kakanen to be better. So I think it would probably even out and become a wash. Yeah, your point on the goalie, that's well taken. Maybe that goes back to my point of to get them not to take the goalie, you may have to give up some of those assets so they don't do that. On the Addison front, again, that to me is another reason why Dumba makes sense. Again, everything always becomes a numbers game. Addison is basically, to your point, does a lot of the same things that Matt Dumba does. Obviously, the Wild think he can do them well enough or he wouldn't have been getting run in the playoffs. So to me, that's just another sign. Without saying it, it's a signal to the rest of the league, hey, if you want him, come get him. You know, he's available for the right offer.
Well, that pretty much concludes everything we wanted to hit on poll-wise, Hoppy, unless you have any final things here.
Well, we still have the poll from the sense of what are you willing to give up to tell Seattle who to select? And obviously that comes with the caveat of who they select. But Like, say it's for Dumba, say it's for Rask. Like, what are you willing to give to Seattle to make that happen?
Not much. I mean, I'm not willing to give up much. For the most part, I'm a firm believer in keeping what you have. So you have as many assets when you're ready to go make a deal, when you're looking for that player to help you make your run to a championship. In this case, it would be a Stanley Cup run. When you think you're close, I want as many assets in my back pocket to save. And I don't think at this point where the Wild are at, I don't think it's prudent to be giving another team assets to dictate who they take. If they want somebody, take them. We'll pick up the pieces and figure it out from there. I don't really want to part with anything. I really don't. Would I part with a mid to late round pick? Yeah, I would do that. Do I want to part with a first, second,
would you do
or third
a second
round pick? No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, look at some of the players that have been taken even in the second, third round in recent memory. I don't want to do that. I think a second round pick at the trade deadline holds tremendous value. I'd rather move it at the trade deadline to acquire a player than to stop a player from being taken off my roster.
Okay. And hey, I respect that take. I think depending on if you can get them to take Rask and take away that $4 million and that crater that sits on center, or if you have to give them, you know, a third, even call it, to take Dumba just so that you protect your goaltending tandem, because again, Talbot's your guy next year, but you're hoping that Kokkonen's the future. That's kind of where I would argue, but I'm totally with you in just saying, you know what, screw it, take who you're gonna take, move on. I'm okay with that mentality, but I have to spin off of this, Ross, because I too listened to your most recent podcast episode, and I have to say, this is our first real line of contention through this show. I just don't agree that the expansion draft is bullshit. I think that people whining about the Vegas Golden Knights are a bunch of bitches, and you know, that's my take.
Yeah, and again, I don't even wholeheartedly disagree with your take. I understand why the NHL does it, and that's one thing I didn't get a chance to expound upon with Isha, but I understand why the NHL does it. I have no problem with that. Mine, just as I said, mine comes from bitterness, probably of having to watch way too much Jacques Lemaire hockey, but then also having to watch who was on that roster. And it's, oh, without a doubt, it's rooted in jealousy. It's been rooted in jealousy since day one. To this day, I'll never be on board with Vegas. It's cool. I get it. People love it. Party lifestyle on the strip. I don't care. Keep them the bleep off my TV. It's probably more rooted in jealousy than anything. So I don't necessarily hate your take. I get why the league does it. A part of me loves why they do it. It also creates parity right away, and it is fun. But also, I just don't. Vegas has been in the league now for 4 years. They can't expose a player 4 years into it? That makes no sense to me.
That's a money thing, man. That's 100% money. Vegas is getting none of the expansion dollars from Seattle joining. They're protected. It was part of them signing in. I agree. It sucks that they don't have to expose someone, but like, just from a technicality perspective, like, I can't argue with it. But I get
look
it.
Ross, when Seattle makes the playoffs before the Canucks do next time, we'll sulk together.
I want you to know I'm fully noting this 45 minutes in. Hoppy calls Ross a bitch. It's fully noted.
I said you're among the bitches.
Okay, great. Great. What if I pluralize that, me and my bitch eye or whatever that would be?
Oh, man. Hoppy, do you have anything else for Ross here before we close things up?
No, man. I think I'm good over here.
Ross, this has been outstanding. Plug away, sir. What do you got coming up on your podcast besides the hit with me? And what do you got plans for sports talk this summer?
Yeah, well, thanks to the Twins for not helping fill the gap. But obviously, we'll talk plenty of Minnesota Twins. The pod is Minnesota Sports Chat. It's much like yours, literally available wherever you get pods. I've been doing it for about a year now since my departure from Score North. It's been a ton of fun. Really looking forward to hopefully talking some positives about Gopher football. I'm a little I wouldn't say bullish on how they'll be this year, but I'm excited about that. Well, a lot of my holdovers at the beginning were from the Score North Gophers show, so I want to continue to serve that audience of Gopher football fans and Gopher football faithful. Plenty coming up, past shows. I've had a ton of fun doing it, include Minnesota's 38th and 39th governors. That's an open invitation to the current governor, Tim Walz. So if either one of you know anything, let's get it done. That way I can say all three major parties have appeared on the podcast and just having a ton of fun throughout the summer.
I only know Wes Walz.
True story. My dad lives like a block from him, so I've been tweeting Wes at times. Hey, if you see a guy walking a Shiba Inu, stick your head out the window and yell, "Hi, Jeff," from your son. So, yeah, Minnesota Sports Chat is the pod. Like to keep it as topical, but as you saw, Isha also like just have a ton of fun with it. Sometimes the best sports talk is impromptu. So thank you both for the opportunity. It's fun to quote unquote meet you, and I've enjoyed this immensely. So thank you.
Oh, likewise, man. And we want to say thank you to everyone tuning in on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. A kind review or just simply tell us what you're drinking goes a long way as well. If you're a fan of the sport of hockey, go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. We have a podcast for you, a podcast covering every team in the National Hockey League and every niche in the sport. On your app, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. Thanks to everyone who chimed in on our poll questions. We'll have more coming out this summer. Don't you worry. And check us out at the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. We have a contest going on for the duration of the playoffs. Basically, a post will come out prior to the game. You tell us who you think is going to win the game and retweet the post, and you're automatically entered into that round's contest. Every round, the winner has a chance to win a jersey of their choice. So go follow at Hockey Pod Net and stay abreast of all the fun stuff we got going on there. Hoppy, where can they find you?
At State of Hoppy, most places.
All right, this was fun again, Ross. The Friday episodes on the Soda Pod are so much fun. There's a lot of NHL tidbits coming in. We're going to put those on the shelf. We'll cover them all on the Monday episode. Quick reminder to everybody again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have podcasts and some fun listener-based live streams coming up in the future as well. But until then, signing off, I'm Isha Jeromey alongside the State of Hoppy and Ross Brandel. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, boys?
We're good.
All good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.